This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Coming up in about a half an hour, Wes, we will break down the ACC men's basketball predictions. Order of finish. Will Virginia be the number one team? Will it be Duke, North Carolina? Could the Noles get in there? Who knows? You're going to find out coming up in about a half an hour. But the cool thing is we got time to get to that. Right now, we want to bring back to the show, because it was great to have him back in college football. And Wes, you had the call Saturday with Pitt and Florida State, but the quarterback, Kenny Pickett, joins us now. Kenny, first of all, I'm glad that you're healthy. It was great to have you back on the football field.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me back on.
I know it was rough with the ankle and everything else. So, I mean, October had to be unbelievably difficult. I mean, this is the last rodeo you want to play. You had some huge games. There can't be anything worse than wearing the baseball cap there on the sideline.
Right, right. You know, as a competitor, you know, it's very tough to watch. You know, but due to my injury, I kind of had Florida State circled, you know, on the timetable. That was probably the quickest I could return and the safest way possible. So I was really focused on getting back for Florida State.
Kenny, what do you learn? I mean, I saw the Coach Pickett version against Notre Dame where we're sitting upstairs with the headset on and the ball cap, and I got to believe that Coach Pickett was not as happy as Kenny Pickett was taking snaps last Saturday. But did you glean anything from seeing the ball game up top one week, just to maybe look at it from another angle?
Right. I mean, I think it's just a different perspective to look at it. You know, I took advantage of, you know, really helping Joey and trying to be a, you know, a coach for him as well, and just, you know, see things and get to him on the sideline the second half of that Notre Dame game. Try to help him out as much as I can. And, you know, obviously during practice.
By the way, I know you want to play, right? I mean, it's the ultimate deal. You're a competitor. But could you see yourself being a coach somewhere down the road?
I do. I definitely like to stay involved in the game. You know, I feel like I have some knowledge. I could help a lot of, you know, young quarterbacks and help take their game to the next level. So that's definitely something I'd be interested in.
All right. I want to get to the toughness aspect of this, because Coach Narduzzi visited with our TV crew last week, and he said, you know, we'll see. He was out there, and he did not sound overly optimistic. Now, maybe he was selling me a little bit, okay? When did you feel like you were a go for Saturday in Tallahassee?
I'd probably say Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday was a little it was a little rough at practice trying to get through. Thursday felt, you know, much better than I did on Tuesday. And just having that practice gave me a lot of confidence to go out there. And I felt like I could do what I needed to do, you know, on Saturday against Florida State. So I'd say Thursday.
Kenny, so the game starts, right? And I know you're excited. From the rust standpoint, knocking that bad boy off, once the game starts, does it feel like, hey, listen, let's just go play? I've done this 1,000 times. Or did you feel like, hey, listen, it took a while to get into a rhythm?
I'd say I don't think it took too long. I mean, I had that big play. I think it was, you know, the third play on that third down to Jared. Once I had that play, I kind of, you know, got back into the groove. It felt like I didn't really miss a beat. So, you know, it just felt great to get back out there and get back in the huddle and really just, you know, compete with my team again.
Yeah, Kenny, it's an interesting point, because the throw to Wayne, certainly then, it almost kind of like took the plastic back off again for you, because after that point, you guys as a football team really seemed to settle in, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, the defense feeds off the offense feeds off the defense, and I think our special teams had a, you know, a really, really good game. Kirk Christodoulou, obviously, you know, was like the, you know, national punter of the week. You know, he had an unbelievable game, so I think it was really our best complimentary football that we've played up to this point.
Joe Yellen fills in for you while you're injured. How would you assess his game and his improvement?
He's done a great job. You know, he's a really young guy who came in and tried to learn a pretty complicated system without a spring ball. I think a lot of people forget that. And then we had camp, so I was getting majority of the reps in camp. So for, you know, a young guy to come in there and play against two really tough defenses, you know, I think he did a great job, and he's got a bright future.
Kenny, tell me about the in-game stuff with Coach Whip, because a lot of times when we're doing it, and Saturday was the third time that Roddy Jones and I have had your guys' game, and we'll notice during the game that after a play, you'll walk over to him and he'll say something, and there'll be almost like a little conversation with the play clock running. How does that go? Is it usually pretty good, or is there every once in a while does he say, by the way, don't jack this up, or something like that?
If I miss something, he'll definitely let me know about it. It works pretty well. With the ankle, it was a little different. We did a little bit more of hand signals, and sometimes, you know, Nick Patty would walk out and try and relay the play. I was a little worried about the play clock, but, you know, throughout the game, I got really comfortable with just kind of walking halfway and then walking back. So it actually wasn't too much of a problem. So, you know, I expect it to be pretty smooth from here on out.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Patty, what's up with all the scores? I know as a quarterback, you wanted to distribute the ball, but I mean, I saw those wheels. You had that rushing touchdown. Nobody could catch you. All of a sudden, Patty's coming in and getting all those scores, man. What's up with that?
I know. I had to throw him a couple. He got two, so we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah, Roddy Jones said on the air that here comes Nick Patty, the touchdown vulture. I mean, he's stealing your numbers, Kenny. What's going on with that? I mean, you throw for scores, and Nick Patty's coming in. You had to take the 10-yard run just to keep him on the bench, I thought.
I know. Coach Whip was joking. I think we lead the country in getting tackled on the 1-yard line, so we gotta work on getting in the end zone and finishing it.
You know, you laugh about that, but, you know, I think back to your season, and not to put salt in the wound, but, hey, you got there at the 1-yard line against NC State. I still go back to that game a lot this year, and I know, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you can play that game all you want, but October really was a rough month for you, not only from a physical standpoint for you personally, but even from the team standpoint. It just kind of got off tracks a little bit.
Yeah. I think, you know, we dealt with adversity really well over the bye week. That was the big thing. Get to the bye week, get healthy, and then bounce back for Florida State. And it's a 4-game season from here on out, you know. So we start off 1-0, and now we got Georgia Tech coming in, or we're going down to Georgia Tech this week. So really we're focused on this one.
Kenny, take me through, I mean, Georgia Tech's a team when we're in divisions you guys see every year. Last year, obviously, they're a different team. They've changed schematically on offense. They've certainly changed a little bit of what they do defensively. But yet these always seem to be relatively close games. I mean, they seem to be hard-fought, turn-on-a-dime type deals. So is that kind of what you expect Saturday night?
Yeah, definitely expecting a four-quarter fight. I think they're a really well-coached team. That they play really hard for their coach. You can just tell in the film. You know, like you said, in the past 4 years, I think it's always been a close game. So, you know, we're not expecting anything less going down there this weekend.
Kenny, one of the things I've talked about, not only on this show, but also the radio show in the afternoon, is the dedication necessary by all student athletes, whether we're talking about football or any of the Olympic sports. We're now in the middle of November, and you guys have been getting after this for a long, long time, just trying to stay safe and healthy for the opportunity to play. Can you describe to the viewers and listeners how difficult that has been, not only the whole process, but now that you're in halfway past the season? You mentioned it's a 4-game deal coming down the stretch. We come in the middle of November. At the end of the semester, you can see it. You're a senior. You're going through the whole routine. How difficult has this been away from football just to be safe and healthy?
Right. I mean, it's pretty difficult. You just have to know who you're around, really, and kind of stay. You know, Coach Narduzzi talks about your bubble and just stay in your bubble. So you can't let a lot of outside people come in just because you don't know where they've been and who they've been around. So in that standpoint, it's really been the facility in my house and you know, doing schoolwork and rehabbing these past couple of weeks to get back. So, you know, in that sense, I've kind of been pretty focused on what I have to do just to get back for the team. But I would say it's tougher for guys that are in a dorm and guys that are in like an apartment complex that are around a lot more people. I'm rolling around my four other roommates. So it's been kind of easier for me. But for those guys, I'd say it'd be, you know, a lot more of a struggle and a lot more of a test to, you know, stay in their room and not go around other sports teams because you don't know what's going on with their team as well. So overall, I think it's been really tough, but I'm really proud of the way our team's handled it this far.
Kenny, you say the three other guys. I'm guessing the three other guys play football that are with you. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, four of them.
Okay. So if you're playing football, and you mentioned like other students in general, but other teams, it kind of almost and it's as much of a bond as student athletes have on college campuses because of the same type experience, right? And you know, student athletes across all sports tend to congregate together. Now that's even more difficult, right?
Right. It's almost like you can't do it. You know, we don't really go with other teams just because, you know, if there's a problem on their team, it'll carry over to our team, and then the whole thing could get shut down. And if you look at the big picture of it, so you're really not guaranteed. Like I talked about those four games, we're not guaranteed those four games. They're just on the schedule right now, and that's the plan. So You know, everything can come crashing down. As you see across college football, games getting canceled, games getting postponed, and, you know, we're really working hard to make sure that doesn't happen to us, at least, you know, hold up our end of the deal.
By the way, last time we had you on, we were kidding around about you and DeVito, a bunch of Jersey guys slinging the rock all over the yard, and we threw a Springsteen question on you, and you're like, dude, I didn't know nobody listen to Springsteen, not my age group. So with that said, get us up to speed. What are you listening to?
I'm not, you know, I'd probably the same stuff I was last time, to be honest with you. Nothing too new. I'll dip in a country a little more here and there, I guess, with the fall weather coming around. So I'll stay with country a little bit. Obviously rap and hip hop before games and stuff. So, it's pretty status quo for me right now.
All right. Fair enough. You've always been transparent with that answer. I just want to tell you though, I've enjoyed watching your team. I love your defense. My man, Paris Ford, I wish him the best. I know he opted out. But that band of brothers you got in that locker room, I always like watching your team play. And it was just great seeing you back doing what you love to do, slinging the rock, scoring touchdowns, and having fun.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
It's good seeing him back this past weekend. Wes, you had the call. And Pitt's different offensively. Yep. When he's back there throwing the football, and again, no disrespect to Joey Yellen or anybody else. They still have a tough time running it, but Kenny Pickett throwing it gives him a chance.
You know, the other thing, too, is it's his toughness as much as anything else. And Pat Narduzzi talked about it, you know, just the fact that he was willing to grit it out. There was no way he was near 100%. Yet, you know, he's doing what it takes for their team to compete and win. And it's quite a statement on him being a veteran guy. And, you know, quietly, Mark, he's had a very nice career at the University of Pittsburgh. He's got a chance to finish on an upswing for sure. And we thank Kenny, as always, for joining us. He's always the thing I like about him is he's always just straightforward and candid with you, huh? I think he'd be a real and you know, I'm not telling you anything Whipple or Narduzzi hadn't said. I think he'd be a guy that an NFL team would take a shot at simply because he's going to be a tough team guy, you know, and he's going to be a guy that can, you know, whether it's a starting spot, whether it's a backup role, he's a guy that can be a part of an organization for a long time because ball's important to him. And I think that's a good thing to see.
Well, the other thing, I know he wants to play. That's why I asked him, would you like being a coach? And, you know, listen, anybody who's a player, you don't want to be on the sideline watching somebody else out there doing something you want to do. But I could see him. I think he's kind of got the mentality, the smarts, the toughness to be a good coach. Again, I'm not telling him he can go chase his own dream with all that stuff. And we've always enjoyed him on the show. But it was just good to see him back because Pitt as a football team is better when he's the starter, and you know that's what he wants to do, especially his last go around here. So we wish him a healthy conclusion to the upcoming season. So best of luck to him.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, it's a Wednesday. We are 15 minutes away, and I am very intrigued to see who is number one in the preseason? Because it's normally shades of blue, right? It normally is either a light blue or dark blue. And I'm just kind of curious to see if that trend is going to get broken coming up here in about 15 minutes. But we'll find out. But there are some interesting storylines to this hoop season coming up, though, Wes.
Well, I mean, a little over a year ago, we were in Charlotte, gathered around, and Dan Bonner was at the desk with us, and all of a sudden we're talking about, hey, by the way, don't forget Leonard Hamilton in this conversation. Remember Dan Bonner hatching Leonard Hamilton to us?
Yep.
While everybody's all excited about Duke and Carolina and Virginia, oh, by the way, don't forget Florida State. And look who went 16-4, Pack, right? Yep. I mean, you know, amazing. And I think there's something to be said about that. I think there's – I think that there is always the quote-unquote standards in this league, but I also think there are those ones now that you got to make sure you account for. And I think Florida State, again, finds itself. A lot of people without Trent Forrest think, you know, Florida State may lose some of it. But, man, you bring back an MJ Walker who can score it. Scotty Barnes, Pack, is going to be fantastic. He stays healthy, and you know, we get this thing going. Scotty Barnes is a really, really good basketball player. Yeah, Duke's recruited well. Carolina's recruited well. But you mentioned this yesterday. We were talking briefly. what Virginia has done in this league in the last, what, 5 or 6 years now?
Seven. 104 and 24.
Unbelievable when you think about their long run.
Yeah, 104 and 24. And again, we all keep score. You got wins, you got losses. Nobody's been better than Virginia. Nobody. I mean, again, I don't care what shade of blue you want to go. You want to give me a little Louisville? You want to give me some Florida State? That's all fine and good. But nobody has been more consistent than Virginia. And it's not just a couple of years. I mean, you could do that for maybe a year or two. You know, you get the right combination of players. But Tony Bennett has been nothing short of sensational. So I'm kind of curious to see where the Hoos are going to be in the pecking order. We had the AP preseason poll came out. We had four ACC teams from the men's perspective we're talking now. Ranked in the top 25. I thought there would be more, but hey, it is what it is. I just hope we have a season, like I said, for football. I just hope we can get to a starting point and have some kind of semblance of games on a consistent basis. I know we're going to have some disruptions. It's just what it is. And basketball could be trickier, perhaps, than what we think. We'll see how it plays out. But I'm kind of curious to see what this poll looks like coming out here in about 10 minutes.
You know, Mark, there are other teams, though, on the outside of kind of those standards, right? I mean, let's take the Virginia, the Duke, the Carolina, the Florida State, and we'll just kind of take those four and push them up the line a little bit. And then who's in that next group? Is it Georgia Tech, who had a winning record in the ACC for the first time since 2004, who brings back a Jose Alvarado, a Michael DeVoe, a Moses Wright, with a lot of other contributing pieces, right, for Josh Pastner's team that had such a really good finish at the end of the year and then did not have postseason. Is it going to be NC State? Devin Daniels, DJ Funderburk, a good recruiting class. Could it be the Wolfpack? We looked at the schedule of the rotation yesterday for them. Is it Miami? We told you Sam Wardenburg's out. They've had a good recruiting class. They bring back Cam McGusty, guys like that. You start thinking about Louisville. Everybody talks about no starters returning, but you got Samuel L. Williamson. You got David Johnson. Yeah, I know Malik Williams is about 3 months with a foot injury, but Louisville's done a really good job recruiting. I mean, it's entirely possible that the Cards can emerge. What about Syracuse? Boeheim, Girardi, Dolezal, you got guys back that have all been, contributing players, and at times Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girardi are stars in certain games. And that's the kind of stuff that encourages me about how the conference depth can kind of resurrect itself a little bit.
Well, you mentioned Clemson yesterday. I think Pitt's another team you could probably throw in the mix to watch how Capel develops that team. I thought Georgia Tech was the answer. When you threw that one on me yesterday, the first team I thought of was Georgia Tech. Because I thought Josh Pastner's guys at the end of last season had kind of found a pretty good combination. And, at times last year, it was hard for people to score. Georgia Tech can score. And they got guys back, right? Last year, that was one of the things about the Jackets, is that they were one of the few teams with returning experience, which was really lacking last year this time when we started talking about ACC men's basketball. So I think Georgia Tech is primed to make some noise for the – you're talking about now teams outside – the four givens, which, again, would be North Carolina, Duke, Florida State, and Virginia. But I think the Jackets have the potential of causing some issues for folks. Wes, when we did the schedule yesterday for the men, we'll do the women at 9:30 this morning. But during the course of the afternoon when I was working on the radio show, I was going back to the basketball schedules. And there was one team that just jumped out at me that we didn't really talk about this yesterday because it's really the conference schedules. But I can't help but bring this up. And he's one of our favorite people on the show. Mike Bray at Notre Dame is always an entertaining interview. He's great to hang out with and everything else. But I'm wondering if Coach has lost his mind. Because I went through their schedule. Let me just tell you about Notre Dame's schedule. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time on this. They're going to get cranked up on November the 28th. I'm going to give you their snapshot from November the 28th and fast forward it a month to the end of the year.
Conference, you got all that stuff. Okay.
I'm going to give you
the
teams.
Non-conference, okay.
Right, just relax. At Michigan State, Tennessee, Ohio State, at Kentucky, Duke, Purdue, at Syracuse, Virginia. That's a month of basketball. Are you crazy? I mean, holy mackerel, is that a schedule? Michigan State on the road, Tennessee, Ohio State, at Kentucky, Duke, Purdue, at Syracuse, Virginia. That's November 28th to December 29th. Holy mackerel. Coach Bray, I'll give you one right now, Coach. Couple of them. Oh, my goodness. We're going to go play some people, man.
Does Mike want me to see if I can make a call to dear old Elon? See if Mike Schrage will bring the Phoenix up there to play a little bit?
My
son's at Kennesaw State with Amir Abdur-Rahim. Maybe we can get them to fill in for Kentucky or somebody.
Forget
Coach
Elon.
Bray, what are we doing?
Forget Elon. He needs some holy water. That's what he needs. He needs to call Father Jenkins and get to the front of the line. Mike, that is an incredible schedule for the first month. Unbelievable.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Yeah, we have football in the brain, but right now it's about hoops, men's basketball in the Atlantic Coast Conference. We have kind of waited on this one. We'll take care of the ladies coming up an hour from now with their schedule release. But Wes, it is now time to unveil the predicted order of finish in addition to all conference teams.
Mark, for the first time since 1982, Virginia is the preseason favorite to win the Atlantic Coast Conference. 97 first place votes ahead of Duke. Florida State is third. North Carolina is fourth. The Blue Devils receiving 34 first place votes. Florida State 15 first place votes. 7 to the Tar Heels. And then fifth is Louisville, who got 2 first place votes. Sixth is Syracuse. Seventh is Miami. Eighth is NC State. Ninth is Georgia Tech. 10th is Clemson. 11th is Virginia Tech. 12th is Notre Dame. 13th is Pittsburgh. 14th is Boston College. And 15th is Wake Forest. There were 155 people that voted, by the way, in this poll. I will add that the preseason order was due prior to the announcement of the schedule yesterday. So just share that. So you were kind of voting blind in terms of the rotation and rundown and things like that. But nonetheless, Virginia is the preseason favorite for the first time in 38 years, Pac.
Wes, it's only the fifth time in the last 36 years that somebody, anybody, other than Duke or North Carolina has been picked first in the preseason poll. Well, it's only happened 5 times in 36 years. That's why I mentioned to you about half an hour or so ago. I'm kind of curious to see if that trend would be broken. And I pointed out yesterday, 7 of the last 8 years, the team that has been picked first has not finished first. 7 of the last 8. And in the last 7 years, Virginia 104-24 in the league, by far the best record of any team. Right. So, again, Tony Bennett has done, like I said earlier, nothing short of a sensational job in Charlottesville. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Louisville 5th, Syracuse 6th, Miami 7, NC State 8, 9, Georgia Tech 10, Clemson. Your thoughts there?
The initial thought, just seeing that poll for the first time, I'm surprised that Louisville received first place votes. I know they lost everybody. Mm-hmm. I have total faith in Chris Mack as far as recruiting and coaching. I think they'll be fine. They'll develop. I don't know how in the world you would pick them first in this league, given what Virginia's got coming back, how Duke recruits, North Carolina's North Carolina, and old Leonard Hamilton's always good at Florida State. I don't know how you'd give them a first-place vote, but that's a – if you vote, you're entitled to do whatever you want with that. Unlike the ladies, which I think we had 3 teams receive first place votes, we have 5 with the men. As I said yesterday, the AP poll, I thought there would be more ACC teams in the top 25. I do think this league has quality depth. I think it's an incredibly important year for Jim Christian at Boston College for a lot of reasons. I'm curious to see how Forbes does with Wake Forest taking over, and how he's going to inherit, number one, a team, and how he develops during this crazy COVID pandemic. I do think that the teams that you mentioned yesterday with Clemson, Georgia Tech, Miami, NC State, I think they are all primed to make some noise and create some havoc with the top four or five teams. So I think it'll be a fun year. I hope we have a year. More importantly, everybody stays safe and healthy and we figure out a way to have games. But I think ACC basketball from the men's perspective and the women will be thoroughly entertaining.
I did some math, always dangerous, right? Yesterday. And I looked at the Louisville schedule, and knowing Malik Williams was roughly, 12 weeks, right?
Yep, right.
So you get into about 3 months, and that would bring him back, and again, right before a critical piece of the Louisville schedule. Now, remember, Louisville has Duke twice, Georgia Tech twice, Pittsburgh twice, and also two with Syracuse. But they have a stretch of games from about February 16th through March the 6th where they play Syracuse at Carolina, Notre Dame at home, at Duke, at Clemson, and Virginia at home. Could very well be that that would be, you know, at least a portion of what would be the cards at full strength, right? Assuming there are no other derailments. So, you know, Louisville may in fact have a proverbial late kick, if you will, in the final turn, to use all the horse racing analogies I can think of at the moment. I am intrigued behind those top four, though, Mark. I really am. I think part of this league and the way it's going to be regarded nationally is going to be told in that group of Louisville, Syracuse, Miami, NC State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and whoever else emerges with them, right? But those are the ones that we have some aspect of,
Hey, hold on a second. That's come on in, Mrs. P. Come on in. It's too late. No, it's too late. You're on camera. You're on. Come on. Miss, come on. Come on. Dogs are going nuts.
Don't put Mrs. P
all right,
on camera.
Mrs. P. She, now, she's already
Mrs.
caused
P
the trouble.
Not like to be on camera.
No, she wants no part of it. She's right. She's making a delivery, and the dogs right. are going nuts. But nevertheless, I digress.
Got it. That's it. I just think that that group of teams is going to help determine how the ACC is valued nationally this year. The first four, you know. The first four are kind of this year's brand names, if you will. And, yeah, Syracuse is a brand name. Louisville's a brand name. But right there, those four at the front are the ones that everybody's looking at to start. The depth of the league is going to determine the overall reputation of the league.
I'm with you with this, the glob. I don't want to call it the glob yet until we see games being played. But of that snapshot of the 15 and where they're ranked, my gut initial reaction of who I think is going to be higher than where they have them finished is Georgia Tech. I don't think there's eight teams better in the conference than Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech, the way they finished and closed last year, and I keep going back to scoring. Can you score? Can you put the ball in the basket? That's at times last year that was a deal in college hoops. I think Georgia Tech will finish higher than ninth in the ACC. That's my initial gut reaction.
All right. Let's move on to the all-ACC team. And those top four teams that we mentioned a moment ago each have a singular representative on this group. And we will start with Garrison Brooks of North Carolina. He is the leading vote-getter for the All-ACC preseason team. Averaged 17 points and 9 rebounds a year ago. And he is also the preseason ACC Player of the Year. And credit to this young man for his development in Chapel Hill.
Not surprised at all. Not surprised that he's on this list. He's got to be on this list. And I tell you what, when he decided to come back, you knew, Wes, this was an automatic. Automatic to be on this list.
Yep. So Garrison Brooks is the leading vote getter. The second leading vote getter might surprise some folks, because if you weren't following the news of college basketball a year ago, one of the better players in the conference actually didn't play. A transfer from Marquette who set out last year named Sam Hauser started his career with Marquette and now has transferred to Virginia. And 2 years ago, averaged 15 points, 7 rebounds for Marquette. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of interested to watch him play for Tony Bennett, because he might be a really productive player in the way Tony Bennett plays.
Perfecto, right? I mean, he's going to be able to – from a matchup standpoint, it's going to be a problem. He can shoot. Again, I loved watching him play at Marquette. And when he announced that, hey, guess what? Road trip and we're going to Charlottesville. You're like, man, that is a perfect fit for the way Bennett likes to play and the way he can deliver. I think that you couldn't have asked for a better case scenario there.
So Sam Hauser was the second highest vote getter on the first team. The third highest vote getter, in my opinion, is going to be the best freshman in the league. And that, you know, when Patrick Williams declared for the draft after 1 year at Florida State and Devin Vassell declared, a lot of people were wondering. Those that follow recruiting weren't wondering because they knew Scotty Barnes was coming to Tallahassee. The number one power forward recruit in the country arrives to play for Leonard Hamilton. And is that all you need to see, Pac?
Well, no, just the opposite, Wes. I need to see everything. You know what? Because, you know, dunking on me in high school is one thing. You're now going to take it to another level. And this is how I feel about recruiting.
Yeah.
You know what? You can give me all that five-star stuff you want. You can give me all that McDonald's stuff you want. I'm not dissing it. I just need to see it. And, you know, with Hauser, it's different. Yeah. I saw him compete against grown men. Now you're going to take it to another level. And I'm not discounting Barnes, he may go on to be the best player in the league, for all I know, but I want to see it first. I know about the hype.
Yeah.
We know Leonard Hamilton gets dudes. I get all that stuff, but I want to see it.
The next player on the list is another freshman expected to have an impact early for Duke and a team that brings back some familiar names but also brings in some newcomers, and that is Jalen Johnson. From Wisconsin, who is the number 12 overall recruit, according to ESPN, but averaged 25 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists a year ago, and is expected to bring that small forward spot to more of a formidable position for Duke as Coach K comes back to put a new group on the floor this year as well. So Jalen Johnson makes the preseason All-ACC team.
Yeah, ditto. Same deal here, right? I mean, Duke recruits great players. Okay. Wow, shocking news. They've always got great players. So, again, no doubt, I love it. Glad he's part of the conference and all that good stuff, but I want to see it against real bodies. Real bodies.
All right. The last two guys actually tied for the final spot on the preseason team, Pac. And it's interesting that they tied because they're two veteran guys of teams that have kind of been up and down a little bit in the last couple of years, but they're guys who you'd take if you were putting a five together in the ACC. The first is Amir Sims from Clemson, and I think he's the cog to what the Tigers can do this year, a veteran guy who knows how this league works, third-team pick a season ago. But Sims is a guy who can spark a good group around him, and I think Clemson has a chance to be a good group. Other one behind Sims – go ahead, Pac.
I was going to say, you watch these highlights. Amir Sims is a grown man. That is my point, all right?
Yep.
When you start talking about Barnes and Johnson, hey, great, you can put them on this list. That's all fine and good. I'm not knocking it. But then you see a highlight of Barnes, and you're like, well, that's a grown man right there. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You could go dunk it on me in high school. Big deal. But, you know, you go inside against a guy like Sims, it's a different story now. I just, you know, we got a bunch of grown men in this league. So, you know, play hard. Get better. But Amir Sims is a dude. Now, he ought to be on this list.
He is. And this other guy's a dude, too. Except he's one of the smallest cats on the floor, and yet he makes the biggest plays, and that's Miami guard Chris Likes.
Yeah.
You know, when you want to sit down and watch basketball, this guy right here makes it worth your time.
Yep.
Honorable mention a year ago, battled some injuries, will compete his tail off for 40 minutes every time the Canes take the floor.
Yeah, love watching him play.
This guy will battle you
all
night long.
Yeah, he can play for anybody in the league. There's no question about that. And, again, you go and you watch him. And you know what's amazing, too, Wes? When you see him in person, you're like, oh, ain't no way that little guy's going to do anything. Wrong. He's going to do everything. Steals, shots, leadership, smart, tough. And Jim Larrañaga loves having him back, no question.
All right, so that's the first team All-ACC in the preseason. And you're saying to yourself, Wes, you just read seven names. I did. There were some ties at the bottom of the order. Here is the second team and the points there. David Johnson headlines the second team with Jose Alvarado, MJ Walker of Florida State, Kihei Clark of Virginia, and Wendell Moore Jr. of Duke are the second five on the preseason. Interesting to look that the preseason player of the year voting, Garrison Brooks, a unanimous choice as the ACC preseason player of the year. Sam Hauser of Virginia was second. MJ Walker of Florida State was third. The only reason I bring this up, Mark, is that Garrison Brooks is, and Sam Hauser are first team guys. The next one, two, three, four, five, six guys pack, second team guys, or not even on second team.
I was a bit surprised when you rattled off the list that we're throwing some rookies in there, and we've got some experience coming back. You mentioned MJ Walker. We've seen enough of him. Wendell Moore, same deal. But again, it's a preseason poll. I don't think you go too crazy over it. But while it's exciting to wait and see all these newcomers join the league, because there's a ton of hype,
right.
You kind of know what you got with a lot of these guys. But I do think the Hauser transfer from Marquette to Virginia, like I told you, the day that was announced, you're like, man, Tony Bennett hit that one out of the park, because I've seen enough of Marquette basketball
right. And
the way that kid can play. He is a perfect fit, man. No wonder.
By the way, the ACC Freshman of the Year is Scotty Barnes, the preseason ACC Freshman of the Year. Scotty Barnes got 64 of the 157 votes. The other second place went to Jalen Johnson of Duke. That's a pretty close vote. Caleb Love of North Carolina, third. Dayron Sharp of the Tar Heels, fourth. DJ Stewart of Duke, fifth. Reese Beekman of Virginia, expected to be an outstanding player, as is Jeremy Roach, R.J. Davis. You see Mark Williams of Duke. Cam Hayes of NC State, by the way, got a vote as well. Kevin Keats has high expectations for young Mr. Hayes in the Wolfpack order. So there's the that's all the preseason stuff I got for you on the men's card, Pat.
Look forward to watching all those
sheets for you. So
yeah, looking forward to watching all those newcomers in the league, and we'll see who emerges and who lives up to the hype and who doesn't. But the league, again, you're going to be really good. It always is. It's going to be entertaining. It'll be fun. I do like the quality of depth in the conference. I do think the AP voters underestimated the league again, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they say. You go play. And hopefully we will get the chance to start seeing that here coming up here in a couple weeks.
Packer and Durham.
My beautiful mother, Suzette, spent most of her time in the military, in the Air Force, doing social work and helping people every day with their problems. My dad, Tony, he did 20 years in the Air Force. We served a couple tours, Afghanistan, Iraq. Being brought up in a household like I was very impactful because of the lessons that I learned growing up with two siblings and military parents about respect and loyalty and trust. It was always a safe space to be brought up in, but it was also a place where respect was important. Message to my mom and my dad, thank y'all for everything y'all did, everything that y'all continue to do, and everything that y'all will do in the future, because y'all never stop working and y'all never stop doing everything that you can to make us feel better and help us be the best men that we can be. Thank you.
Happy Veterans Day again to all the men and women who have served and are serving. Again, we appreciate all the effort, the work to give us our freedoms. And this is why this is still the greatest country in the world. And again, for all the men and women, we salute you.
Yep,
we really do.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that if you have a family that has military history, you're more grateful for the service of your particular family member, whether they are still with us or not. And the impact that those military folks have on our country is immeasurable.
Yep.
And I think we're all in this country grateful for what the military does at any branch of service and whatever their role may be. If it's boots on the ground in combat and fighting for freedoms, or if it's just work that needs to be done, we are grateful. And our prayers and blessings with all of them on this special Veterans Day.
By the way,
Michael Carter.
Yeah, but can we do one thing about Michael Carter
for
a second? Because this was actually on my best of and worst of week. All right, we do that on Mondays. But Michael Carter made my list. Mm-hmm. We didn't do this on Monday, but now that we played that little vignette, which was even more important for what he was talking about with Veterans Day and his folks,
yeah.
We had a little Michael Carter on Michael Carter Saturday at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Here's Michael Carter, who you just saw with the ball, running over Michael Carter of Duke. You don't get that very often, Wes, at a play-by-play standpoint. Michael Carter on Michael Carter. Oof.
No.
Touch. Catch you later. Oh. See ya. Ball game.
Yeah. I wonder if Michael Carter realizes he was hitting Michael Carter.
No. 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 I don't think he had any idea. But I tell you what, the other Michael Carter felt, got up and went, yikes. Man, I tell you what, and you know what? Those are two really good players. Michael Carter Duke can play. Michael Carter from North Carolina can play too.
Yep.
But that's what you had Saturday at Wallace Wade Outdoor.
Is there a Michael Carter in the field tomorrow at Augusta?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Don't think so.
I don't either.
Speaking of Augusta, you got
our
some thoughts on that?
Our crack research staff. I do. Our crack research staff for golf, headed by producer Drew Brooks, tells me there is no Michael Carter in the field at Augusta. There is no Angel Cabrera, so Friday morning we will not have the ceremonial reading of the scorecard from your evil twin.
Evil twin's taking the week off. Yeah, the evil twin, Angel Cabrera, my lookalike, is not participating. That would be bogey.
So disappointing.
Yeah, not happening.
Double bogey.
Pa. Chickle stick. Bogey.
All right.
Double bogey.
All right. You're looking for ACC ties to Augusta. You've come to the right place. We've got several in the field tomorrow at Augusta National, including the 1987 Masters champion and a hell of an engineer, Larry Mize. Andy Ogletree will be there, U.S. amateur champion of 2019. Lucas Glover, Clemson. Adam Hadwin, Louisville. Matt Kuchar from Georgia Tech. Webb Simpson of Wake Forest. Brooks Koepka of Florida State, all in the field with ACC ties.
Good to see Brooks Koepka back.
Daniel Berger not in the field?
It's good to see Brooks Koepka back. I know he has been battling a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
And, again, big man. He'll be, if he's healthy, he'll be a factor too. I can't wait. You know, we're so used to it being in April. This is a unique situation. I had Reese Davis on the radio show on Mondays, and we led in with the Augusta theme, the Masters theme. And, of course, College Game Day is going to be there as well. It's going to be unique, man. I already saw the pictures. I was watching some Golf Channel last night. I know it was raining like crazy in Augusta last night, and I just can't wait to watch it. I know we won't have the dogwoods and the azaleas, but it's still such a beautiful place, and what a great golf course. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, no question. By the way, ACC golfers to win the Masters. We already highlighted Larry Mize, who's in the field this year. Art Wall Jr., a Duke alum, Wake Forest alum, Arnold Palmer. Raymond Floyd spent some time at North Carolina. There's a great story there, by the way. And, of course, Larry Mize, all ACC alums to win the Masters. So keep an eye on Augusta starting tomorrow morning. 7 early tee times and double tees because of the amount of daylight we've got packed, so they'll have to hurry along now. No dilly-dallying this year at Augusta National. Double tees this year for the first time.
I kidded around. Of course, our man Drew Brooks loves everything Tiger Woods, and I was giving him a hard time because he had the champions dinner last night, and Tiger served sushi and Mexican food, right? Man, come on. You kidding? Wes, if you had won the Masters and you get to have the dinner, you get to pick anything you want to eat on the planet Earth. Are you going sushi? Yeah. Seriously, are you going to go sushi? Man, I know Tiger's won it 100 times. There's no stinking way I'm showing up with my boys and we're eating sushi. and I don't have to pay for it. I can pick anything I want on the planet. That is an incredibly weak selection. I'm just telling you, that is beyond weak. That is weak, weak. What do you order? What would you come to the table with? If you could, anything you want. Anything you want.
I'd probably start with like French onion soup.
What?
You're asking me what kind of meal I'd have, and I start with some soup.
French onion soup.
You know what? That's it. We're out of here.
That is a terrible appetizer.
I can't say anything right.
We're going to go meat.
What do you want? Jumbo shrimp cocktail?
Yes. There you go. Something hearty.
Jumbo
soup.
Shrimp cocktail. Would you like scallops.
What are you going to get? Kale? What's wrong with you people? You're not buying. It's whatever you want.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.